Are you ready to forget your manors? Huh? Are you ready to hypnotize a man into trying to murder children? Huh? Well then, let's go, because this is what we're going to talk about today. Let's go for it! Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I am your host, Phil Gonzalez, and I'm sorry about that intro. I'm very sorry about that introduction. That was unnecessary, unnecessarily aggressive. This week, we are covering Season 2, Episode 2 of the 1985 Berenstain Bears cartoon. And this episodes are based on a book and the basis of a book. But in a mad switcheroo, the episode that is based on a book is not teleplayed by Stan and Jan Berenstain. Instead, it is a Robbie Goren episode. And the episode in the episode that becomes the basis for a book later on is in fact teleplayed by Stan and Jan Berenstain. So this episodes are a break from tradition, and we get to see and witness and hear and enjoy what it's like when Stan and Jan just get to go full on, let's have a wacky adventure, as opposed to trying to teach us a lesson about manners, say, and more a lesson about don't hypnotize the man into murdering children thing. That's right, we are covering the Berenstain Bears Forget Their Manners and the Berenstain Bears and the Wicked Weasel Spell, which became the basis for the Berenstain Bears Scouts and the Evil Eye, a book that blew me away when I read it because I had never witnessed attempted murder of children in a Berenstain Bears book. Will it hold up? Like, will it be the same thing in the cartoon? I don't know. Let's find out. There was a lot of attempted violence on TV in the 1980s, so maybe this is the same thing. I mean, Winnie the Pooh had enemies in his 100-acre woods in his Saturday morning show, so who knows where this is going. I will see you all on the other side. And we're back. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about them episodes. Let's talk about them episodes. The Berenstain Bears, Forget Their Manners, the Berenstain Bears, and the Wicked Weasel Spell, which was adapted into the Berenstain Bears Scouts, and the Evil Eye. So where are we with this? What are we doing here? What are we looking at? Berenstain Bears, Forget Their Manners is essentially the same as the book, but with a bizarre prologue. So in the book is easy. The Berenstain, the Cubs and Papa have become increasingly rude over time. Just forgetting their manners, forgetting to say please and thank you, calling each other names, pushing and shoving their way through doorways. Just they're becoming sort of bratty kids, and Papa is no better. He just sort of like lounges about at the table. He's just not a polite bear. And this is not something that's happened all of a sudden. It's just something that's gradually started to happen. So Mama gets the idea in her head to create a chore chart, essentially, but it's a politeness chart connected to chores. So it's a list of rude behaviors, and if you commit any of them, you have to do a chore, from dusting to cleaning the entire cellar. So brother and sister get it in their heads that they're not only going to do what Mama says, because they hate the idea of having to do these chores so much, they're going to be so polite that it's going to infuriate Mama to the degree that she makes just forgets the whole thing. Unfortunately for the Cubs, or fortunately for the Cubs, I don't really know which, the very act of pretending to be polite renders them actually polite. The Cubs succumb to their own trickery and just sort of naturally become polite. Papa Bear, though, still not working on him. He hates the idea of politeness. They go to the grocery store, and there's a nice exchange where Papa demonstrates that sometimes you have to interrupt people. Sometimes you can't let everybody ahead of you in line because you'd never get anywhere. If you don't interrupt people, like in the case of, say, an emergency when someone's honey jar breaks in their grocery trolley, then that's not cool either. So he interrupts a conversation to tell someone that they have a leaking grocery. So he's like, "This, you know, you can't be too polite because otherwise the world will fall apart." He then rear ends someone in his car and calls them terrible names. Which Mama is like, "Papa, what's your names?" But the bear who gets out of the car is this huge, aggressive bear. And Papa is very polite and defers to the man's largeness. And the man's like, ah, no harm, no foul. I stop short anyway and drives off. And then Papa's like, as you see, politeness is always the way to be. And then that's just the end of it. It's exactly the same story in the episode, with a couple of minor exceptions. One, brother and sister develop their natural politeness pretty quickly after the beginning of their attempted hornswoggling of Mama by turning her own project against her. So we actually end up spending a little bit more time with Papa and his shenanigans than we do with the cubs learning any kind of lesson from him. And the reason that they get over it so quickly and develop their good manners again is because of the beginning of the episode. The entire beginning of the episode is taken up by something that's not in the books. It's a birthday party at Cousin Fred's. We have Cousin Fred, we have a bunch of other cubs, including one named Honey Bear. We have Aunt Min, and we have Too Tall Grizzly. And this is cartoon Too Tall Grizzly, who's far more obnoxious and aggressive than book Too Tall Grizzly. And this sort of little psychodrama plays out where Too Tall's trying to impress a girl at the party by dancing. And he does this extended dance sequence with like all these like bizarre dance moves. And he bumps into another cub, who bumps into another cub, causing him to spill his drink. Too Tall's really rude. He's like, watch it, get out of my way. And he's so infuriating that it puts Brother in a bad mood. And Brother picks up on Too Tall's rudeness. Too Tall then like steals all the party favors, leaving only fake mustaches, which also further infuriates Brother and Sister. They become very rude. They're rude to Cousin Fred. They storm out of the party. It's a good lengthy sequence, and a lot happens. Aunt Min never tells Too Tall to leave, which is wild, even though he's being very destructive and he wasn't invited. And he and his gang like crash the party. But also it shows sort of this triggering incident, this inciting incident that causes Brother and Sister to become rude that day. In fact, it's weird because if Mama had simply waited it out, I am sure by that evening, Brother and Sister would have been fine. Now, in the book, of course, it says that like over time, Brother and Sister have sort of forgotten their manners and have become ruder and ruder. But this is an immediate thing. This is a direct response to a bad party with bad guests and being treated unfairly and rudely for an extended period of time. And then seeing your host and your host's mother refuse to do anything about it. Like, I can see where that would put anyone in a bit of a foul mood. And if Mama had simply said, what's wrong? What happened? And the cubs had explained, then have been like, you know what? Why don't you guys just go to your room for a while? Come out when dinner is ready. Just you guys need to decompress. It's a completely different setup. So there was really no point in Mama doing the rudeness chart. And also, of course, Brother and Sister are going to find their politeness again because it wasn't an ongoing thing. It was this sort of acute moment that triggered a negative response. Everyone's allowed to have bad days. And that's what this episode sort of seems to be saying, like, man, if anything puts you in a bad mood, you better not express it, or else you're gonna be chained to a chore chart. Papa actually has this whole entire like daydream, this fantasy about like attacking the chore chart with this fury in his eyes, like tearing it to pieces. And he actually loses control of his body and goes to attack it as we pull back. Like, there's a lot going on with this rudeness chart. So this is one of those cases, and it might be because it's not a Stan and Jan teleplay. Roby Goren wrote it, and it lacks that like character feel. The whole beginning with Too Tall and the stuff with Papa wanting to destroy the chore chart, it's kind of out of left field and doesn't really feel like the rest of the book. And it also undermines the point of the book, which is that manners are something that you have to practice or you'll lose them. And this is just a case of Too Tall put the kids in a bad mood for a day, and then Papa rear-ended another guy and almost got beat up for his troubles. So, not the best translation of a story into animation. But what's weird is the next episode, the Berenstain Bears, the wild weasel spell, the wicked weasel spell, formed the basis for the Berenstain Bear cubs and the evil eye, is a great example of why sometimes things should stay animated and not be stretched out into a book length. So this one is, the episode is about the cubs are worried. The sister has this weird feeling. She has what she calls the Weasleys, which is hilarious. She has the Weasleys, and the cubs, other cubs feel it too. Papa feels it too, which is the sense that the weasels have been quiet for a while. They haven't tried anything, and that has them all worried because it usually means something is afoot. And since Raffish Ralph is usually tied in with what the Weasels are doing, the Cubs decide to go spy on him to see if they can figure it out. Now, as they spy on him, Ralph gets a message in a bottle that somehow gets dropped on his head saying to go to the old tree that he uses to talk to the Weasels. They've got a job for him. He goes to the tree. The Cubs witness this. He goes down into the Weasel's lair, and they discovers that Weasel McGreed wants to get the bears out of bear country. And his plan to do so is to use the power of hypnosis, which he's learned from a book, to hypnotize something and make something happen. And he demonstrates this by hypnotizing Ralph in a lengthy sequence where Ralph believes he's a dog and then a bird and then a bat, and he hangs from the ceiling and he falls. It's very funny. But they figure out that they're like, wait a minute. We know that Big Paw lives up on the top of Mount Grizzly. We've met him earlier in the episode. Big Paw loves to sing and he hates mosquitoes. It's mosquito season in bear country. So the idea is we're going to hypnotize Big Paw into thinking that all the bears in bear country or bear town are mosquitoes. And then he will kill them, I guess, or at least chase them off. Even though he is simply just one very large bear. And we know that the bears have weapons because we've seen the bear civil war, like the bear war. We know that guns exist in this world. They could probably defend themselves. However, they go up to the top of Mount Crumpet or whatever, and with under the guise of Weasel McGreed is pretending to be a music producer, which is hilarious because they already did this last season. They tricked Big Paw into thinking that Weasel McGreed was a big-time music producer. You think he would recognize him at this point, but he doesn't. So Weasel McGreed is like, first, I gotta check your throat. We wanna record you singing. I'm gonna train you to be a better singer or something. We're gonna check your throat. When he leans in to check Big Paw's throat, he turns on his wicked weasel eyes and he hypnotizes Big Paw. They show them a bunch of random bears in Bear Town, including a photo of the Cubs, which I don't know how Raffish Ralph got his hands on it. It's kind of a weird thing to think about. Shows them, he's like, they're like, these are mosquitoes. You gotta go swat these mosquitoes. And the Cubs are like, oh, no. And Big Paw starts chasing them. And then Brother's like, wait a minute. I remember something I heard about hypnotism once. A hypnotized person will never go against their own moral compass. We just got to figure out a way to, like, remind Big Paw of what reality is. So they start singing a song. They're like, there's two things Big Paw loves, Cubs and music. So they start singing Big Paw's song back at him about how he loves to sing and pluck his banjo string. But it's about how much they love Big Paw. We love it when Big Paw sings. We love Big Paw singing. This snaps Big Paw out of it. He turns on Weasel McGreed and Raffish Ralph, who attempt to sing back at him as well, which actually is pretty funny. And he chases them off, and the Cubs are like, we love you, Big Paw, and he loves them. And that's basically it. We get a brief chase by Big Paw going after the Cubs because he's been hypnotized into thinking they're mosquitoes, and they're like, we're not mosquitoes. And that's your story. Now, if you recall, this was expanded into the Berenstain Bear Scouts and the Evil Eye, which is a weird book because it follows the same essential plot. It just pads it out a lot with character development, which unfortunately makes the story very weird because it begins with Raffish Ralph giving up his life of crime because he can't think of any good swindles to do. And actually, like, confiding, the Cubs see him coming and he's like, I don't have anything going on. And they actually talk to him for a while. They're like, what's wrong, Ralph? And he's like, I don't have any swindles. Like, nothing excites me anymore. I'm not down for swindling. And they're like, poor Ralph. And then he goes to his houseboat, and there's actually a dagger stuck in the wall with the letter on it. Like, come meet me. I got a plan. The reason this is weird is because it establishes a rapport between Ralph and the Cubs that doesn't exist in the TV series. And I remember when I read these books, I was like, I think Ralph has a weird affection for the Cubs, like, because they have an ongoing relationship. They know each other. They are familiar with each other. Yes, his plots are always foiled by the Cubs, but he still is a bear in Bear Town, and they are still children. And that's why what happens in the book is so strange, because the hypnotism plot more or less happens the same way. They the Cubs confer with Grizzly Gramps and Gran about, you know, what Ralph might be up to, but they still come up with the idea to hypnotize Big Paw into swatting mosquitoes and thinking that the bears are mosquitoes. However, Ralph sees this as an opportunity to get the Bear Scouts out of his hair, so they only show Big Paw a picture of the Bear Scouts, this large cutout they have of the Bear Scouts, which, again, don't know how they got that cutout. Which means that Ralph's plan isn't, let's chase all the bears out of Bear Town. Ralph's plan is, let's just kill these children. I just want to murder these children. I want to kill these children, but I don't want to do it myself, even though I honestly could. I'm a grown bear who's used to violence. I could take these children out. Don't want to muddy my own hands. Don't want to dirty my hands. We'll get this kind innocent to do it by hypnotizing him. And they do. And it basically plays out the same way, except in the book, it's simply the power of love. The kids are like, we love you. And they're like, that's right. Only the power of love can break the spell of the evil eye, which is what they call it in the, they don't just call it hypnotism. They call it the evil eye in the book. But this was one of those books, one of those episodes that translating Saturday morning action into a 100-some page novel really shows you the cracks in those plots, in those characters, because these episodes are 10 minutes long. They move by so quickly. You don't have time to dwell on the fact that Big Paw could have killed those kids. That's not the point. The point is that he was hypnotized and there's a funny resolution. But when it's written out in text and they expand upon the action and they build out the characters, it seems really gross and sinister. And I felt weird having read the book and having gone through it again before this episode just to refresh my memory. I was like, oh yeah, this is that book. This is the book where they almost get killed by their friend, who had no idea what he was doing. So that's the difference. So in the odd twist, the storybook episode in this episode's episode, not as strong, because it did contain some weirdness, like at the beginning. It was overlong, lost its point. The action-adventure Saturday morning episode, better than the book that came after it, because it didn't overstay its welcome. And it didn't make you think too much about the fact that this large, simple man who lived up at the top of Mount Grizzly almost killed the only people in town who were kind to him, these three children. This man who only wants to sing and make people happy almost broke the necks, I guess, is how he would have killed them. Smashed them repeatedly with his guitar is how he would have killed them. Thrown them off the cliff is how he would have killed them. Who knows? We don't know how Big Paw would have killed them because we never got to see it happen. But you got to see it happen or listen to me talk about how it happened. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for being a big part of this. If you're watching along at home, thank you so much for watching. If you were watching on YouTube, I hate to be one of those people, but if you could like and subscribe, that'd be great. If you don't watch this on YouTube, but you just listen to it, still go like and subscribe on my YouTube channel. You can ignore them, but just like and subscribe my YouTube channel. It'll really help me out to get a few more eyes on these. I'm happy as a clam, I guess. I'm a happy clam. I'm the happiest clam. That's it. Thank you so much, and I will see you all next time deep in the